Hey everyone, welcome to Bitchin' Bout Broadway, where we talk about Broadway behind her back. I'm your bitchin' host, Elijah Zurek, and today we have a repeat guest, Nikki. What's good, girl?
Hello, I'm happy to be back.
For those of you who don't know, Mama Nikki is my mother. I am in love with her. We are besties for the resty, and I love her so much. So today we will be discussing the first Broadway show I ever saw and the first Broadway show we ever saw together.
Yes.
The Little Mermaid. I have had an infatuation with The Little Mermaid since I was about, 2 years old, right?
Yes.
It's been my all-time favorite movie, from the animation, the music, the colors, the music's, the best ever. Every level of it, I love The Little Mermaid. It's a core moment of my childhood, everything about it.
I can agree with that. The obsession, the merchandising, everything that we had to buy, everything we had to own had to be mermaid, Little Mermaid related.
Still do. My room is still Little Mermaid themed. True story.
I vouch for that.
And my whole aesthetic, personal aesthetic, and my clothes and everything is mermaid themed. It's not obvious, but there are. It's not oh, that's a mermaid shirt. Sometimes it is, but it's not the typical off-duty mermaid or whatever.
It's more colors, nods to colors.
It's nods to colors. It's theming. It's
oceanic.
Very nautical, oceanic. Yeah. So everyone has their cottage core, their e-girl, their e-boy. I have my mermaid aesthetic, my mermaid core, as I like to call it.
Yes, mercore.
Mercore. So it has influenced me even now. So I'm very passionate about this subject, and I'm especially passionate about the Broadway show, because I mean, if you love the animated movie, you'll love the writing, at least, of the Broadway show. I mean, there's different versions of it, because I mean, it's gone through a lot of rewrites. I mean, there's been a revival tour, which I actually got to see 3 times in a row. It was amazing. But we'll dive into that. So if anyone that knows me, I do love The Little Mermaid from the beginning of my competent life.
Yes.
So the show is based on the book The Little Mermaid by Hans Christian Andersen, published in 1837. The cartoon movie was debuted in 1989, the best year.
Well before your birth.
Well before my birth, but no.
I was existing.
And this movie, I know, and I've actually had the pleasure of meeting Jodie Benson, the voice of Ariel.
Yes.
And she is a gem. She is nothing. You think of, people always say, never meet your idols because they'll never be what you expect. But Jodie Benson is definitely everything.
So sweet.
She's everything and more, honestly. And I want to see her again because she's great. And she's so talented, too. I love her voice. Her voice is, a comfort sound for me. My mom's voices, my dad's voices, and Jodie Benson, because I watched The Little Mermaid so much growing up.
What was interesting is she was on Broadway.
Yes.
When they were doing the cartoon, and that's kind of how she got picked to come and audition for the cartoon.
Mm-hmm. She was in Smile, and my personal favorite Broadway show she's been. She's also been in Little Shop of Horrors as Audrey, and she sounded great on it. But my personal favorite Broadway show, or honestly any of Jodie's vocals that she's ever done, was Florence in Chess, the musical. And
yes.
She sounded epic. Nothing like Ariel, really. I remember listening to it, and I was like, yes, this is a bop. And then I, saw her, and I was like, wait a minute, that's my girl Jodie. What? And, she's so pretty. She has these, big curly hair. And at the time, I think it was, sandy, more on the brown side. And she has these, beautiful features. She's a stunning woman. So, I mean, of course, her mermaid aesthetic is, even you can see in a little bit, her hair and her, her face. She looks like a mermaid, even though she sounds like one, too. So, I love her. I could talk about her for hours. So, yes. And they didn't think that the movie, was going to do well, because at the time that it was made, Disney was in, was not in the studio. It was, kind of in a back lot, and it was, Disney was honestly flailing. It was, almost out of business.
It had a string of
flops.
Yes,
a long
they were focused on adventure films for the boys, and then they had not done a princess film in a while, so then they...
And, I hate to be this way, but I think that the princess films can be for the boys, too. I mean, all my favorites are the princesses, because I think they really take the time on them. So, obviously, my favorite character.
They have the music.
Yes. My favorite Disney character, of course, is Ariel. But my second favorite, like, another one that's, like, influenced me, honestly, later in life, like, when I was, like, 13 or 14, was Esmeralda in Hunchback of Notre Dame, because she's iconic. But, like, we need more characters like that, like Esmeralda and Megara and Giselle from Enchanted, Kida from Atlantis. Like, we had
realistic.
Very realistic and, like, flawed, ambitious women. Captain, I think she was, yes, Amelia from Treasure Planet. She's a bad bitch, and I love her. And I'm glad we're getting more of those, like with Merida and Elsa and Raya, most recently Raya, and yes, of course, one of my personal favorites, Moana. But I just love everything with water, and of course I love Moana. So, so they didn't think it was going to do well, and I remember Jodie Benson was like, all right, I'll do it, and she got to do it. And she was telling us at her concert, where I sat front row and ate dinner with her. It was like a dinner concert. It was very classy. I've never been into anything like it. And
it was the legend.
Legends concert.
Yes.
It was
celebration.
It was iconic. But I sat like one seat away from her at dinner, and it was really cool. And I still have like the program from that and my little seat marker, my name on it from that. It was really cool. So yes, we love that. Anyway, but she was saying that like they didn't think it was gonna be a big deal. Like she did it and it was a cool job because she was like, you know, growing up, everyone wants to be on a Disney film because Disney's iconic. But then they were like, okay, we're gonna go on tour. You need like 40 different dresses. And she was like, oh. And she like went shopping and she got 40 different like Ariel aesthetic dresses. And she still does, like when she does concerts. Like I remember when I saw her, she was wearing like this long blue gown. And like, first of all, like, that woman, like, ages so well. Like, yes, she looks exactly the same as she did, like... Like, I've never seen a bad photo of Jodie Benson. She always keeps in her trends. Like, you can tell exactly what era she's in, because she keeps up, and she's beautiful. But, like, I remember seeing her, and I was like, wow, she's beautiful. So, she was wearing this, like, long, sleek gown, like, blue. I think it was, like, royal blue. And it had, like, little rhinestones at the top of it. But it had, like, it dragged on the floor. And it was very representative of, like, mermaid. And I was like, oh my gosh, she's literally even coming up with, like, the outfit. And she always does that, too. Like, I've never... And when she goes to Disney and everything, she always wears, like, an Ariel t-shirt.
Yes, she does.
Like, that's her girl.
She,
like,
embraces it.
Yes, and she has, like, an Ariel collection. Like at her house, she has Little Mermaid memorabilia, which I think is... I mean, of course she would, but, like... You never really think about it. Like, of course she has merchandise. And people give her Little Mermaid merchandise. And she's like, yes, that's me. I'm sure. You know? And I remember... And she has kids, too. And she was telling us at this concert as well that she, like, doesn't really tell people that she's the voice of Ariel. And that they kind of figure it out, like, if her kids' friends, like, get close enough to them. At least at the time. I know her kids are much older now than they were when I first met Jodie. But she... talking about, like, how her kids would be like, oh, okay, so we're not going to talk about it. And she's like, all right. But, like, as they get closer, they're like, so my mom's Ariel. You know? And it's, like, it's very niche. It's, like, I can just imagine that conversation being like, so I know this is very, like, off topic, but my mom, you know, the, like, Little Mermaid, the movie? Yeah, my mom was, like, the voice of Ariel, like, the mermaid. You know, like, I can just imagine, like, the conversation of that being like, what? Because it's so random, like... If you met these kids. And, of course, her daughter sings. I don't think her son is involved in film, though. Her daughter sings. Denali sings. And she's been, like... She was Elsa in Frozen Jr. I remember knowing that. And I was like, oh, my God, period. But my favorite that I know she's done was Amneris in Aida.
Okay. I think they're both in their 20s, for sure.
They've got to be. She's going off to college, though, Denali.
Okay, so she's still on the younger side.
Yes, and, her brother's already in college because he does, like, student films because that's what he goes to college for, to do film on that side, not in, like, the acting side of things. But I thought that was really cool. Anyways, I love Jodie Benson. I'm a fan of her. So it's very niche, but that's one of my favorite celebrities. So they didn't think they were going to go far with Little Mermaid, and they were just kind of doing it, but it blew up. And my mom, and you were alive for the Little Mermaid's
movie. Yes, I was 19.
So, like... Did you like Little Mermaid?
I think I was around 19. Yeah, so it was fine because I liked all the Disney films, and I went and I did all that. But I was right, you know, graduating high school, going off and joining the military. So it wasn't like, you know, I saw it, I liked it, and that was kind of it. It was not life-changing for me as it was for you.
Yes. But you had, like, Little Mermaid, like, knickknacks.
Yes, because I collected all the Disney VHS films, because that was the thing to do.
And didn't you, like, pay someone to, like, give you that VHS tape because they were, like, sold out? I remember you telling me about this. You were, like, they, like, sold out at the VHS store, and you were, like, I really want this. And you, like, gave someone, like, because they had got the last copy, and they were, like, standing in line, and you were, like, I will give you, like, $20 just to let me buy this. It was something like that. I forget what it was. You told me about
that. That's quite possible. That's quite possible.
Yeah, because I remember you being... Because there's, like, a scandal where there's, like, a phallic on the castle.
Oh, no. I bought that, I always had it. They did a recall. That's what it was. It's the cover.
Okay.
It had the castles that had, like, the misprint that were... It was more kinda, phallic symbols.
Yeah.
And they recalled it because they wanted to adjust it. But I kept it, so I still have that.
That's what it was. Did do something like that, but it probably wasn't this particular thing. But I actually have it in my room now, the VHS. It's in my little glass cabinet with all the Ariel figurines, and my glass cabinet only has Little Mermaid collectibles and figurines and, like, the VHS and, like, journals and... like Mickey ears, like all my, like not even all my Little Mermaid merchandise because I have so much.
The shrine.
Oh, my room is just a shrine. Like Ariel has her grotto and I have my grotto shrine for Ariel. So yes. But it did go far, of course, because it's Little Mermaid. It's iconic. It's pop culture at this point, Little Mermaid. Like we were just watching a movie last night with Amy Poehler and they like showed a picture of her in a Little Mermaid t-shirt.
Yes. It was supposed to be a flashback to her high school days.
Like her in like the 90s.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, period. The late 80s or 90s. And
well,
I was
came
like,
out in 89.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. It would have been the 90s, yeah. But I thought that was really cool. And I was like, period. Yes, Amy. And the movie came out in November. So, you know, so that was like toward the end of the year anyway. So it's really more of a 90s movie, like with the influence and aesthetic.
They didn't have the merchandising back then that they do now.
Oh, no,
it wasn't like they, you know, the t-shirts definitely would have been later.
Yes.
It just wasn't a thing.
Right.
Now. Okay.
So they actually won the Academy Award for Best Original Score, which as it should, they killed it. It's fantastic. And I also know a lot about this because there's a show on Disney Plus called Waking Sleeping Beauty. And it's about Disney's, like, coming back with a vengeance after those films and everything. So, like, the slew of things that, like, brought it back, like, Little Mermaid and Beauty and the Beast and Aladdin. And it has, like, and, of course, like, Lion King. Because Lion King was another thing that, like, really changed the game. But it's really amazing. And it's one of those, like, feel-good films, too, because I remember the ending being, like, fire. Like, I remember, do you remember that ending? Like, the very last, like, thing, the montage of all the films, but, like, two...
Oh, we're talking about that. Yes. I believe I cried.
Oh, I cried. I had it filmed on my phone. I kept it. I watched it over and over again because it was so good. So, this is one of those worth watching, and it really focuses, too, on Howard Ashman, the late Howard Ashman.
Who we totally respect.
He was brilliant, and he left us too soon.
Absolutely.
He's truly amazing. And Jodie Benson is on that as well. Jodie Benson and, of course, Alan Menken.
Because they worked together on Broadway. He did Little Shop of Horrors.
Yes. Of course, Jodie was not the original cast because that's, like, way before her, like, time on Broadway. But
when they hired Alan Menken and Howard Ashman to come to Hollywood to work on the score for Little Mermaid.
Yes, that they found them through Little Shop. Because Little Shop...
Yes.
Little Shop, if you listen to it, has very similar aesthetic to Little Mermaid. Not obviously like the doo-wop stuff, but like you can really hear like where it could be similar, especially in Somewhere That's Green. Like they even said on set, it's like Somewhere That's Green but underwater. Like because Somewhere That's Green like matches Part of Your World so well. But anyways, yes, I'm very passionate about the movie.
Yes,
but flash forward to Broadway show, right?
Yes.
The Broadway show opened in on January 10th, 2008, and closed August 30th, 2009. It was too short of a run. It's so good. It made me so happy. And this is honestly how I figured out that Broadway was a thing.
I mean,
I wasn't really, like, influenced to go to Broadway as a child. Like, I don't know. I just always liked singing.
It wasn't in our... none of us, but no also, one in our family really did anything with that. And it wasn't something we talked about or listened to or anything. It was strictly
And also, I was more of a Little Mermaid. I was more of a country kid. Like, I've never lived in, like, the country, like, secluded. But, like, early in life, I mean, like, I was six when I moved. But a lot of my growing up happened in Alabama.
Yes.
And there aren't a lot of choices in Alabama. You know, like, there aren't a lot of, like...
Well, you're a high-maintenance baby. You like to be at home.
Well, yeah, but so. I mean, no, but I mean, like, there weren't, like, a lot of, like, it's not like if you grow up in New York City and everything is happening everywhere.
Yes, I can also say, well, they had theaters there. They had the Shakespeare Theater there. Now, people go there and train. So, we had stuff, but it just wasn't in our circle.
No, and also, like, I was six when I moved, so it's, a lot of people find theater around
when they get
six
a little bit
and
older.
Seven.
Yeah, when they start school, and you didn't start school.
I mean, I have known people that performed when they were four, but they weren't, like, the main character, and they weren't trained. They were just, like, the small child and, like, waitress or something. You know, like, Lulu at the very end, how she just, like, runs out and says, like, mama, and that's, like, the end. So, I mean, like, there are roles, but there's, like, five, you know?
No, this
very
was...
Very obscure and niche.
You being a performer was... You singing has been since the beginning, because you sang before you could speak.
But I didn't find my love for Broadway until, like... But, I mean... Little Mermaid did put Broadway on the map, and I knew what it was by the time I developed an interest because I had seen The Little Mermaid.
Well, the thing was, once you found out that this was on Broadway, you harassed us, but you were three at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And they had advised that children should be six before they come to the show. So we said, no, Elijah, we can't go. No, we can't go. And then it was like for a year and a half, I need to go to New York. I need to go see Little Mermaid. And we were like, no, we can't, we can't. And then finally, we were like, well, he's going to be six, so let's look into it. And we had just got orders because of military family. We were going to move to California. I said, it's easier to go to New York from Alabama than it is to go to New York from California. And thank goodness we went because it closed right after we saw
it. Yeah, we saw it in July 2009, and it closed August 30th, 2009.
I know, so we just squeaked in. And I always think, if we did not get you there to see it, you would still not be speaking to us.
I was a little bit sad, though, because the original cast, some of them were not in it. Like, Sherry Renee Scott was no longer Ursula. Titus Burgess was no longer Sebastian, and Sierra Vargas was no longer Ariel. But we're going to talk about that later on, but I am so happy I saw the cast that I did, because all of them were so fantastic. Like, and I'll talk about who I did see and later on, but let's talk more about, like, the show and, like, itself. So, it was at the L'Enfantine Theater, which also housed Newsies, which was a smash hit. And of course, like, many, many shows, but Newsies specifically was, like, a big thing that Disney also produced. So that was also in the L'Enfantine. And then the music was by Alan Menken, of course.
Who is still doing stuff for Disney.
As it should be. Of course, they had the lyrics from Howard Ashman, but they did add new songs, which are what we're going to listen to today. My favorite added songs.
Yes.
And they altered a few things, like Kiss the Girl doesn't sound the same, Part of Your World has a different orchestration. They really bedazzled it. They really jazzed it up. They really went from Walmart to Chanel. Not that it was ever Walmart, but, like, you know, like, they really took it from basics to extravagance. Like,
it was a 30-year difference.
Yeah.
So they brought the music more up to date and made it more recent and for a more adult audience. It wasn't just for the
children. And the show gets dark. The show gets dark. Like, yes, and I think that these were all plot points, most of them anyway, were plot points in the original, like, concepts of The Little Mermaid with the Disney cartoon, but they added them back into the Broadway show because, I mean, at the time they were animating it, they were just, it was just too much. There was too much happening. And for, like, little kids that don't have a attention span, they just needed to focus on Ariel and tell her story. So, which I'm glad they did, but now we get more, and I'm very excited to talk about it. So, the book was by Doug Wright, and the lyrics, the additional lyrics, were by Glenn Slater and, of course, the late Howard Ashman. All of the songs that we will hear today are from the Broadway show, and none of the songs that we're going to be talking about today or listening to are from the original cartoon movie. And they are all fabulous. And of course, they wrote, like, many, many songs for it, so we won't be listening to all of them, but these are my favorites that hit me the best. This song that we're going to listen to now is sung by Ursula early in the show. Like, in the movie, it fits, like, just where Ariel sees Scuttle, and she's like, oh no, the concert! And then she goes back, And then Ursula, and we get introduced to Ursula, like, in her lair, and it's, like, a whole thing. So, that's where it sits, like, if you're watching the movie, you know where it is. But in the show, it's just after Scuttle's song, his first song, that's in there. And then we cut to Ursula, and it's beautiful. So, we introduce her and Flotsam and Jetsam, her henchmen, and the eels. And we find out more to the Little Mermaid backstory that was cut from the movie, which I was talking about earlier. And it is kind of, like, iconic, but they brought back in, this was an original plot point, but they had to cut it for time, was that Ursula and King Triton are actually siblings. And that's the link to the family, Ursula's link to, Ariel's family. So we'll discuss that more in, like, the second segment, because we're already, like, I've already talked a lot for, like, the opening. So now we're gonna learn about, Ursula is missing, like, the grand days when she was part of the Undersea Kingdom and, like, all of this thing, and she was living her big life as, like, royalty. At our show's opening, she is unhappy and decides to plot revenge. So enjoy this fun, villainous song, I Want the Good Times Back, sung by Ursula, played by Shira Renee Scott and her henchmen Flotsam and Jetsam. Catch you on the flip-flop.
When Daddy Dear was floating on his deathbed, he divvied up the kingdom into two. I got his magic shell and half the sea as well. His trident went to, you know who his trident went to, don't you, babies? My reign, why, it was blissfully delicious, and glamour, glitz, and style were au courant. Did I use some black magic? Well, oopsie, my bad. Did I mutilate, maim, and destroy just a tad? And for that I get banished. But me, I'm not mad. There's just one little thing that I want. Just one eensy teensy thing that I want. I want the good times back. I want those grand old days. I want the twisted nights, the sick delights, the wild soirees. I want those trembling crowds of shellfish cracked and peeled for me to dine. Not because I'm mean or selfish.
No.
I only want what's mine. I want disgusting wealth. I want exquisite sin. Want the entire sea to worship me on bended fin. I want to greet my loving subjects and then have them as a snack. Remember those good times. I want them back. Picture it, my sucklings. Pretty soon we'll be back on top, sipping bubbly, eating caviar before it hatches. King Triton is the only thing that stands in our way. If only I can find his Achilles heel, the soft, quivering underbelly beneath all that armor. I'll dethrone him, debone him, and then boys, oh boys, we're back in business. All together now.
You bring the good times back, resume your wacky fun, restore the joyful charm of causing harm to everyone.
I wanna make the merfolk cower like they did in days of yore. Sure, it's sheer abuse of power.
So,
ain't that what power's for? I wanna taste their tears. I wanna hear their screams. I want the special rush you get from crushing hopes and dreams.
It's more than simply sentimental.
It's an aphrodisiac.
Remember those good times.
Oh, God, were they good times.
It's time for good times.
Sure.
Blackmail.
Or
his daughter.
Maybe.
Wait,
Why didn't we think of it before as youngest?
The one with the beautiful voice?
Which she takes for granted. A woman doesn't know how precious her voice is until she's been silenced. Ha! Perhaps we could teach them both a lesson. I want the little girl.
Oh.
And boys, I want her back.
Ah.
I want her sitting here to lure her dear devoted dad. I want my goody, goody brother to come rescue her, the sap. And then one way or another,
surprise,
I'll spring the trap.
Welcome back to Bitchin' 'Bout Broadway. I am your host, Elijah Zurich. We are on Huck Radio on Anchor FM. And today I'm with my co-host, Nikki Zurich. What's good?
Hello, we're back.
Nikki Zurich is also my mother and I love her very much. The song we just heard was I Want the Good Times Back from the musical The Little Mermaid, which is what we're discussing today because it is one of my favorites. It is fantastic. So as I mentioned, this Disney theatrical production musical is based on the 1989 Disney film and the 1837 fairy tale penned by Hans Christian Andersen. I'm sure we all know the Little Mermaid story, but just in case, I have a super duper quick synopsis / reminder for our listeners. Mama Nikki, if you will take it away.
Yes. So this description is from BroadwayMusicalHome.com website. So our mermaid princess Ariel is fascinated by the world and the lives of people on dry land and longs to someday join them, though her father, King Triton, forbids contact. When she falls in love with a human prince, Eric, from afar, she makes a deal with her father's sister and enemy, Ursula. She is temporarily transformed into a human and may remain so if she wins the kiss of true love from her prince within 3 days. Of course, when she made this deal, she had to give up her voice. That was the payment in order to get the legs. The dangerous mission leads to a showdown between good and evil forces, which only love can remedy.
Period. And this plot, that's just kind of like the skeleton for the plot. But there's so much that they added that isn't very mainstream to The Little Mermaid that are in the Broadway show that I'm so happy about. I'm glad they did. They really focus on, obviously the movie. This is my favorite thing that a lot of people don't talk about. The movie, whole track is, Ariel getting with Eric and being happy and getting her legs and being human. But I like where the musical, that is more of, that kind of takes more of the backseat to the plot. Yes, it is a driving force, but it's more of a backseat thing, where the storyline is more of Ariel's relationship with her father, with Triton. That kind of comes full circle more so than it does in the movie, and that really takes the front seat of it, and I thought that was a very creative way to put a twist on the story, and I thought that was really nice.
And also the plot of Ursula is bigger because she is seeking the revenge to get control over the kingdom.
Yeah, and she's she is probably the baddest bitch ever in this musical. She looks amazing. She sounds amazing. And I think that it's really amazing that they had Sherry Renee Scott originate her, because Sherry is a fierce actress, a fierce singer. She's fantastic. Oh my gosh, I could talk about her for hours. But she is quite a delight. So
And also, the original book is way darker than the musical and the movie.
No, for sure. And I mean, we're going to get to how, like, there are different plot lines in here. So, this is how it differs from the movie and stage, this productions. Yes. So
not the book, but just the...
Right. The book, that's a whole separate thing, and find that on Tumblr. Everyone's written about this. This is more obscure. So, Ursula's magic shell is just a large nautilus shell, and, like, it's in her necklace in the movie, but it's, like, a large prop. Like, it's huge in the musical. Like,
yes. Well, in the movie, it was just to hold the voice. It wasn't her source of power. No. It was just a trinket, whereas in this one, it is her source of power.
Yes, whereas in the 1989 film, she just wears it as a necklace, and it's more of, like, a trinket, but it's a way bigger deal, and it's a big point of Little Mermaid in the stage production. In the musical, Ursula and King Triton are siblings, just like in the earlier versions of the film that were unreleased. Ursula and Triton are equal, and upon the death of their father, Poseidon, she received the magic shell, while King Triton received the trident. Each ruled half of the ocean until her cruelty and the use of black magic led to him banishing her, King Triton banishing Ursula, and assuming full reign over the entire ocean.
That's why she's bitter.
That's why she's bitter, and she's in her little cave, and she's like, now I have nothing. Ben, and even in the movie, they kind of mention it, where she's banished to exile and practically starving while he and his flimsy fish folk celebrate. Another thing I really like is that they have chain events in the musical, where I think that they needed to explain it during the movie. Like, in the movie, we see all of the merpeople going to the castle for the concert, and it's more of just, it's the reason I think it's a big deal in the movie is because it's Ariel's debut.
Yes.
But in the musical, it is a celebration and anniversary to the banishment of Ursula. And that's why she's bitter and she sent the eels to watch. That's why she's like, oh, I can't believe it. So that's why they had an anniversary celebration for that, and that's why she's, like, really, really pissy.
It's like their Independence Day.
And also, it was Ariel's debut, which is why, and Ariel, of course, wasn't there. So then she realized, this is, like, so smart, in my opinion. That's when Ursula realizes that all of Ariel's sisters, because there's 7 of them, and also this is really cool that there are 7 of them, because there are 7 of them for each one of the seas. 7 seas. So there are 7 sisters for 7 seas, and I thought that was really, really smart. So, 6 of them, the 6 oldest, were there, and Ariel wasn't. And it shows that, the way Ursula views it, is that all of them are loyal to Triton, but Ariel isn't, and the easiest one to manipulate is Ariel, and, like, that's her little blackmail for King Triton. That's, like, and originally she was like, oh, I'm just gonna hold her ransom, I guess. That was what the original plan was. But then when she realized Ariel's
weakness
and desire and for Prince Eric and to be human, she figured that would gut Triton even more because Triton hates the humans.
Yes.
Anyways, getting to that. So this actually changed for the new European version in Sacramento production where Ursula and Triton had older sisters, and she received a magic ball instead of a shell as a gift from her father to keep her difficult behavior under control. She uses it to kill her father and her older sisters to rule the ocean until the time that King Triton actually comes of age and takes her throne. And there is a song called Daddy's Little Angel that replaced Good Times Back, which makes me sad because Good Times Back is fire.
I love Good Times Back.
I mean, Daddy's Little Angel is fine, but Good Times Back is, like, for bad bitches.
Fine. I don't like it at all. It just talks about how she killed off all her sisters.
Yeah, it's just kind of like I don't know. It just doesn't do it for me.
That was a change I didn't know. Like, I did not approve of the change.
I would have skipped it on the soundtrack.
Yes.
That, I mean, it's just kind of weak in comparison to, like, Wildest Dreams and other things they added. Like, for the other characters.
Good Times Back was...
No, I'm saying, like, that was a strong,
yes,
like, song for Ursula, but, like, yes. I don't know. The magic shell allows Ursula to spy on people who she does not... So she does not use Flotsam and Jetsam's eyes in the film. And I'm doing air quotes. Because, like, in the film, she had, like... They each had, like, a golden eye, and it was, like, a thing. But I think that's that simple transition was kind of cool.
Right.
Eric's sheepdog Max was not included in the musical as, like, why would we need, like, a whole dog backstage? Because, you know, financial
reasons. He's omitted, yes.
Yeah, but instead, like, the sidekick for Eric has just kind of become Grimsby more, his second in charge. Like, his, Grimsby, he's
like his guardian.
It's his guardian, that is literally it. So, a lot of these plot points that they've added have to do a lot with Ursula.
Yes.
Ursula is,
like, she's a bigger character.
She's a way bigger character and a huge contender. After, Ursula's alter ego, Vanessa, is not included because, like, in the movie she becomes human. That's not there. It's not included and, thereby omitting the subplot of Eric's brainwashing as her Wellens. And,
yeah, so what happens is when Vanessa, you know, she turns into Vanessa and she, like, hypnotizes him and now he's going to marry,
Vanessa.
Because when Ursula's trying to throw off the whole plot of the marriage.
What actually takes place in the musical is that foreign princesses come and sing for Prince Eric because he's looking for the voice. So he's like, I'll know her by the voice. It's kind of like the Cinderella thing with the shoe, but it's Ariel's voice. And he doesn't hear Ariel's voice, and what I think is really sweet, because they kind of make him seem a little dumb in the movie, because he's like, oh, the voice, and he, like, clearly saw Ariel, but in the musical, they make sure he doesn't see Ariel, so it's not a visual thing, but then, there's a song in there that I'm not gonna play today, just because I had other songs picked. Prince Eric actually gets two songs, because he doesn't sing in the movie.
Right.
He gets her voice, where it's actually him on the beach singing about, like, how her voice is beautiful, and it's a beautiful piece. I love the song.
Yes.
The other one is because I thought this was, like, really good touch. In the Hans Christian Andersen book, the prince teaches the mermaid to dance, and it's, like, really, it's really sweet. But the way they throw that into the plot of this is that he teaches her how to dance, but as, like, a way of conveying her emotions to him.
Yes.
And it's so sweet. And, like, while all the princesses are dancing, Ariel, like, steps forward because, you know, she can't sing. And she dances a little bit for him, and, like, then he's like, oh, I heard that clear as a bell, like, Ariel's the one. And he, like, he said that even before he knew about the voice and the mermaid and, like, all of that situation. And then, Ursula shows up, of course, right on cue, and ruins everything.
Yeah, we hear her.
We hear the voice, and then he says, that's the voice, never mind, though, I've made up my mind. And he's still there for Ariel, and I think that makes it so much better, and makes him a better character, because I'm like, He was just here for the voice in the movie. And, I mean, I don't think that was the intention, but it's what I got. And I think that Prince Eric in the musical is, like, what we all need. Anyway.
More prince-like. More, you know, he has a better character.
Yes. And I thought it was really nice that he was like, never mind, girl. I made up my mind. What's good? And then Ursula, of course, pulls up and is like, steals Ariel. And it's a really good plot point. So, I don't know. I thought that was nice. That they added that good touch that he teaches her how to dance, and that's kind of her way of talking to him, and so smart. So
another difference. Yeah, another difference is.
Yes, okay. In the musical, Ariel does not get her voice back until she is turned back into a mermaid. So, like, in the movie, she's, like, on the wedding ship, and then she breaks the shell. The shell's not there, but the shell does get broken. In the film, Flotsam and Jetsam are killed when Ursula accidentally zaps them with her trident. In the musical, they just swim away after Ariel takes Ursula's magic and shell, and their fate is unknown after that. Ursula is destroyed simply by breaking the magic shell, as staging her becoming a giant, as opposed to, like, her becoming, like, the giant octopus and, like, like, causing, like, the flood and all of that. Like, that's just kind of...
And then Eric took the ship. Ships. Yeah.
And I think that is actually a really good plot point, because Eric kind of kills Ursula in the movie.
And saves the day.
And saves the day. But in the musical, Ariel does it. So
she grows up.
And so Ariel, what happens is, like, Ursula does get the trident. And then while Ursula's, like, distracted and leaves the shell, like, unattended, Ariel grabs the shell, gets her voice back. Yeah, and, like, then she destroys it. But I have to explain how she destroys it, because it's iconic. Anyway, Ariel pops off. And I think that's really cool that Ariel saves the day, because she's the heroine of our story, and she's the reason we're here. Like, I don't know. I just love her. Ariel's the best. Woo! Go Ariel! In the European and Sacramento productions of Little Mermaid, Ariel and King Triton learn during the last confrontation that Ursula killed Ariel's mother. And that was also in the versions that I've done, like the full-length version that's currently available for licensing on MTI. Because I've been in it. I was Flounder when I did the full version, and then I was in the Junior twice, and I was Scuttle the first time and Sebastian the second time. In the musical, Ariel destroys Ursula instead of Eric, like I just said. Like the film where Flounder and Eric and where Flounder and Eric and Ursula's eels, Flotsam and Jetsam, and they all sing in the musical, and I think that's really cool that Ariel, that it's like not really focused on that. Oh, and
because they've added more music.
So and King Triton sings in the musical because he didn't sing in the movie. Yes. King Triton's a bad bitch. We get some King Triton. Grimsby sings like two lines. It's iconic though. I thought that was really cool. And then Scuttle also sings in the musical and has an entire number called Positivity and Human Stuff. Human Stuff is, like, really cool, but it's not in the currently available licensed version of Little Mermaid. They cut that and Good Times Back, which I have beef. I have a little bit of beef with, not gonna lie. But my favorite, the way Ariel actually gives it to Ursula, like, really, like, shoves it is, like, really iconic because what happens is, Ursula, like, I think it's really cool to kind of flaw Ariel in a way because she is created to be this perfect reality, like unreality of like this character, you know. So they,
you know, my interpretation of that is that she's spoiled, disobedient child.
No, so I know, but like the way that she is, she's made like to be beautiful. She's made to be like to always know what's right. I mean, like after she makes her mistakes and clean it up and it's perfect, you know, which I don't think is, like, real world. I mean, like, but also, if we're gonna talk about real world, we got mermaids. So, I don't know. So, Ariel, when she gets the shell, Ursula, like, offers her yet another deal. And she says, like, give me the shell, and I'll turn you back into a human now that you have your voice back and you can be with Eric forever. Just leave and, like, never come back. And then she was like, and King Triton lied to you. Why would you save his life? Because he said that the world above was hideous. And what was it really? And she was like, beautiful, beautiful beyond compare. And when she says beautiful, beautiful beyond compare, that, if the actress is smart enough to realize it and the creative team is smart enough to realize it, she's not being like, it's beautiful beyond compare. She has to say it in a way that she's tempted to take the deal because she's got to be like, it was beautiful, beautiful beyond compare and think like, was I lied to? And then Ursula, of course, like she probably could have baited Ariel enough to do it again. Baited fish, haha. But yeah, she probably could have gotten that deal from Ariel, but then she opened her big mouth and was like, oh, and your dad lied to you and said that they killed your mother. But we think that it was we're led to believe that it was staged, and King Triton hates the humans because he thinks that the humans killed Ariel's mother.
Yes.
And his wife. But Ursula did it. And then that's how we find out that Ursula did it. And then when that happens and Ariel realizes that, then she loses it and, like, smashes the shell and everything, like...
That's it.
She loses it. And I think that's really
cool. Ursula's like, I'm melting.
I think it's really cool that at that point, she would choose to, like, instead of just, like, swallow her pride and go back to Eric, she's, like... Because that's the moment when she has to pick her family because she's chosen over her family this entire time. Like, from leaving the concert to leaving the ocean... and putting her whole family in danger because of this deal she made. That's the first time in the whole show she chooses her family over...
And she makes Sebastian and Flounder lie for her.
Exactly. And then she expects them to lie for her constantly and blame Sebastian. So that's the first moment in the show she has to know what's right. And she has to just keep it 100 and, you know, do what's right for...
She has to make her decision.
Do what's right for the world because Ursula is dangerous and there's a reason she was banished in the first place.
Right.
And also, I feel like Ursula was definitely banished before Ariel was born because she never met Ursula, one. And then B, I feel like Ursula, the way she talks about Ariel is, like, never how she met Ariel, where I think it would have been harder to, like, you know, like, make a deal with the other sisters because some of the, I mean, the older... half of the sisters probably knew who she was and saw it all go down.
Right.
So.
And she had been banished so long, and then that's why Ursula was able to say, oh, those stories aren't true. They're made up. That's not what happened.
Yeah.
I'm your auntie. I will help you.
They really make Ariel very innocent and confused through the whole show until that point. And I think that I think that's really cool that they show a growing up process through it.
Yes.
Because in the movie, it's like Ariel does these things and then she gets what she wants, you know?
Yes, yes.
But in this, she does mature through the situation. She makes bad decisions and she grows up through them, which is something that, like, we all have to do, and it's more honest.
Yes, yes.
And I don't know. I just wanted to mention that.
But we do, even when she loses her voice while she's on land, we as the audience get to hear her thoughts through song. She still...
Yes.
She still talks through songs. So no one else, the humans can't hear her, but us, the audience, gets to hear her sing.
And it's so funny they even reference it. They're like, why is she gawking? Like, is it like her mouth is moving, but like we can hear the audio and like the maids are looking at her. They're like, she keeps on gawking. Weird how she's not talking.
Yeah.
And I just thought that was kind of funny because like... You can definitely see her mouth move, and they, like, even bring that up. And I was like, just thought that was really cool. So, anyways, the next song I want to play for you guys is one of my favorites from the musical adaptation. Probably my absolute favorite, honestly, because I just love it. It's really pretty, and it's... And the where it happens in the movie is, like, just after Eric finds her on the beach when she becomes human, and then she goes into the castle, and she's looking around. But, like, it starts when she's, like, in the bathtub. I don't know if you remember that scene where she's, like, in the bathtub, and she's, like, blowing the bubbles up, and she's, like, having a good time.
I absolutely remember those.
And then they do a quick change, and then she's in the pink ball gown. And the pink ball gown isn't even a ball gown in the show. It's, like, a pink, like, skirt. But, like, it looks like the ball gown. It's very reminiscent, but it's, like, shorter, and you can see her legs. And it's so cute to see, like, it fan out because, like, the twirling. It's not, like, ugh. Beautiful, beautiful, and I love the pink dress in the show, and it's like, and I do want to also come back to the costuming later, but even when they're on land, they have nautical references in the human costumes, because, I mean, it's a beachy,
yes, it's a kingdom. Port city.
It's a port city, but I kind of liked how, like, they had, like, little seaweed things on the sleeves, like, seaweed-looking straps on her sleeves, and I thought it was really a nice touch, and they had, like, sequins and, like, kind of, like, a bubble formation. I thought that was really interesting, too, because I don't know. I love it. It's so intricate in so many ways. But this is Beyond My Wildest Dreams, sung by Sierra Boggess, the original Ariel in The Little Mermaid on Broadway. Catch you on the flip-flop.
Oh, just look. It's like I'm in a storybook. I dream that it would be somewhat, but not like this. Look over there. Oh my God, how very odd. And what might they be? Something splendid, maybe. Look over here. Could you bust? Isn't it just bedazzling? Dazing, utterly amazing. Gazing round, it's like to die. Just seeing it feels so good, I'd scream if I only could. I'd hoped and wished and wanted so to be here. Wished and prayed and planned it to a T. Prayed and wow, just look, it's really me here. Walking around, strange as it seems, somewhere beyond my wildest dreams.
Look at her there, looking round, won't make a sound.
Just keeps on gawking. Weird how she's not talking.
Look at her stare. Lucky miss, chosen like this to stay
for dinner.
What does he see in her?
Hush now, girl, she's simply shy.
Just picture the table chat, one-sided if even that.
I talked and wished and wondered what I'd do here. And prayed and pictured what I'd see. Prayed and wow, my prayers are coming true here. Look at it all, look how it gleams, lovely beyond my wildest dreams. Look, it's him, so handsome and refined and sweet, sincere. Magnificent from head to toe. And oh, I'd hoped and wished my life would feel enchanted.
Prince would hear my plea. Prayed and wow, my prayers are more than granted. Look at it all, hall after hall, perfect as you could please. Here marvels galore, and even more. Gee, did I mention he's here? And if enough, all of it goes past even these extremes. Just look at me, and you will see someone beyond her wildest dreams.
Welcome back, besties. This is Bitchin' 'Bout Broadway on Hawk Radio on Anchor FM. I am Elijah Zurich, and this is my mother, Mama Nikki.
Yes, we are back.
We are back. So what we just heard was Beyond My Wildest Dreams from The Little Mermaid, and it is one of my favorite songs. I was singing it on the break. Yes. It's one of my favorite songs ever because it's so endearing and it's so pure and it's so sweet and I just love it so much. Anyways, I want to jump back in now that we've discussed the plot line, how it differs from the movie itself. But now I would like to discuss the cast members.
Yes.
When I saw it. And also, like, when I didn't see it, because I've seen the bootleg. Oh! So, original cast, Ariel, was played by Sierra Boggess, who's super talented, and was also Christine Daae.
She's fantastic as Christine.
Yes, she's fantastic as Christine Daae. That's where I watch her the most, because, you know, there's, like, a pro shot. She's probably, like, I think Andrew Lloyd Webber literally said, like, she's, like, his favorite, and it's, like, a whole thing, which, I mean, rightfully so, she's fantastic, as Christine Daae in Phantom of the Opera. But I saw Chelsea Morganstock, who originated one of the sisters, I believe, Andrina, on Broadway, and she was bumped up to Ariel, and she was, iconic. Prince Eric in the original cast was played by Sean Palmer, but I saw Drew Seeley, and I love Drew Seeley. For those of you who don't know, Drew Seeley was the singing voice for Troy Bolton in the first High School Musical movie. Like, all those iconic songs, like the, we're soaring, flying, that's like him.
That was him. And he toured with the High School Musical group, because he did the singing.
Yeah, and he was...
Zac Efron did not tour with
him. No, and Zac Efron couldn't sing the material for the first movie, because that's not his vocal range, but then he sang the other two. And he has a great voice, so I'm like, girl, why don't you just sing the first
one? Yeah, that was so odd.
Well, I think because he even says that he's not comfortable with his singing, but... Come on.
You know? I guess he was so young at the beginning of it, and he could have still been going through the change, who knows?
I don't know, he's fantastic.
Yeah, but then he pulled it through the last two.
Yes, this is one of Mama Nikki's favorites, King Triton.
Yes.
Norm Lewis. I watched him growing up, like, of course, Little Mermaid, I listened to him, but, like, Les Mis as Javert.
In the concert.
A version of the 25th concert. The first concert.
Him as Javert. I don't think I ever cared that much for Javert.
No.
But when Norm Lewis sings Javert.
It's kind of supreme.
He brings him. His character that he brings is. Hey, it's hot. I like it. And so I'm a fan.
Yeah, we've got quite a few Les Mis alums in here. But I know
he was also in Phantom of the Opera. He played the Phantom with Sierra.
Yeah, but not in the recording we have. That was that was Ramin Karimloo, who was fantastic. But he was also played the Phantom. He was Phantom to Sierra's Christine. And I think he was also, correct me if I'm wrong, the Javert to Sierra's Fantine in Les Mis.
That I didn't remember.
I know that Sierra did play Fantine, though.
Okay, yes.
But I could just be getting mixed up. But I do know that they were...
Ramin was in Les Mis, of course. So they're all very...
They're all very...
Swapping around each other.
Yeah. I know, right? They've all just, like, switched off roles. It's like a whole thing.
Yeah.
Ramin played Enjolras, as well as Jean Valjean.
Yes. In Les Mis. More recently.
More recently. In the revival with Casey Levy. Casey Levy. Ursula was played by Sherry Renee Scott. She is fantastic. When we saw it, it was Faith Prince, who was also amazing.
Yes.
But Sherry Renee Scott, you might know her from the original cast of Jason Robert Brown's The Last 5 Years as Kathy, or Amneris in the original cast of Aida by Elton John.
Yes. And I really wish I could have seen her live.
And she also replaced Idina Menzel in Rent as Maureen.
See, I feel like I know all these original casts because when you were three and we would not take you to see Little Mermaid on Broadway because we thought you were too young to, they advised, of course, you probably could have handled it at three.
I definitely could have.
But they were, you know, they're like attention spans and they're too young. You were an anomaly when it came to that stuff. You would have been fine, I think. But however, we would, Elijah and I would get on YouTube and watch any clip that we could find of any person. So we saw Sherry Renee Scott talking about her part as Ursula, and we actually, the clip, we watched her getting dressed into the part.
She did a backstage tour, like, you know, they've done that forever, like the little vlogs.
And she would talk about the throwing of the shell, and of course we were confused because we only knew the cartoon. We did not know the actual show. But I bought you the cast recording, and you learned all the new songs that were not in the movie.
I knew every word. I still do.
Yeah, so between the ages of 3 and 4 and 5, you were learning it all. So when it actually went to Broadway, it all made sense because you got to see it. But we would watch all these clips, and we would see the people. And, you know, of course, we didn't have the whole production, but we were trying to piece together everything that we could. But I really liked her, I think, because I kept watching all these behind the scenes with her.
And she's funny. I remember she said something about her tentacles to her son, and he thought testicles, and then he like went to school or something and said, like, or maybe it was at the show, he said something about testicles and no one understood, but she did. It was so funny. But she brought it up while she was like putting on her makeup, and it was hilarious.
Yeah, because her son was little, and he would ask every night when she'd get home, did she throw the shell? He was just amazed with her dying, as with the shell being broken.
And Ariel.
Yes, Ariel throwing the shell. Anyway, so I wish I could have seen her because I think she's fantastic.
Yes.
And who else do we have besides Ursula?
Oh, girl, we got Titus Burton. Oh, but we saw Faith Prince before we moved.
Yes.
I saw Faith Prince.
And she was great. She's
a Tony Award winner. She's fantastic. She's a gem in theater. She's so talented. But one of my favorite roles that she's done was Trina in Falsettos.
Yes, which we know we love Falsettos.
We do live for some Falsettos. And Trina, I'm sure she was great because she's comedic. So Breaking Down probably brought the house down when Faith Prince was Trina. Because, I mean, Ursula has to be funny. She has to have, like, that dark humor.
Yes.
With the sort of a squid pro quo.
Yes.
And, oh, look, small print. Lawyers, don't you just love them?
Makes her a little less scary for the children in the audience.
Yeah, but it makes her, for me, it makes her more scary because she's so charming, and she's beautiful. And they really, and honestly, I kind of like the image they made because, you know, Ursula in the cartoon was, like, based off of a drag queen, Divine.
Yes.
Divine. And, like, I think that works perfect for the cartoon. But they made Ursula more of a, and to be clear, we're not talking about, like, a weight thing because I've seen people on, like, waist size because I've seen different people play Ursula of all different waist sizes and different different shapes, and she's equally as sexy and sleek in all of them. They really developed the role well. So Sherry, when she played it, she was almost kind of like you know, like the mermaids are one thing, and then there's like the sirens that are like seductive and kind of charming. They played her more like a siren.
Yes.
Than the octopus that's like, ah, ha, ha. She wasn't like a big of a personality as in the movie.
Well, the cartoon, I believe they made Ursula, well, they definitely did not make her sexy because of the audience as well.
She wasn't sexy, but she was purple.
Right, but in the Broadway version, they definitely made her sexy.
She was very sexy, and she was curvy, and she was stunning. And
the costuming, regardless of size, like you said,
exactly.
They made it, you know, very hourglass, and they...
Yes. They created this image of her that she was so beautiful. And not so much, like, kind of, like, they kind of established that Ursula's kind of gross a little bit because she has, like, her, like, shrimp that she's eating, like you know, like, while they're alive, and it's kind of sad.
As real octopi would.
Yes, but no, but they make her very, sexy.
And yes.
Also, when I did Little Mermaid, the Ursula was a science teacher, so she was discussing, like, her theories on Ursula just from, like, her being, like, an octopus and, like, a squid and, like, all of this. There is still a debate of whether she's a squid or an octopus because her arms could count as tentacles.
Yes.
Or not. But she said that she's...
This is in the cartoon.
She thinks she's an octopus, and there is an octopus breed that she thinks looks like Ursula. And she thought that... And she was like, this woman was Ursula 100%. Her name was Christina, and she was so iconic, and I still look up to her. She's who I want to be when I grow up. But she was so iconic, and I loved her. But she was saying that, like, there is a certain type of squid that she thought looked like Ursula, and that, its last thing before it dies is that it lays its eggs, and then this octopus, like, starves, and its last act before death is that it, like, shakes the eggs, and then it dies. That's, like, the last bit of energy, and then it just dies, right? So she thought that Ursula's mom was dead from the start because Ursula grew up without a mother.
Yes.
In this musical. She thinks that Ursula's mom died because of that and not because, like, she was, like, killed or anything. That's what she thinks.
Ursula's mom, but Triton was the last born. So the mother would have to still be alive for the last born. Remember? They talk about he's the baby.
He could have remarried. I don't know.
I don't know. It doesn't get into that.
It doesn't get into that. But she thought that, and I thought that was kind of cool. But also, Ursula grew up without a mother. So I'm like, how was Triton born? You know? I don't know. So, anyways.
We delve too deep.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it.
Okay. But Sebastian.
Oh my gosh.
Which was one of your dream roles.
Still is. I want to do it in the full version. Sebastian was played by Titus Burgess. So if you don't know Titus Burgess is iconic. And he was, he played Titus in The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. And he was
hilarious.
Oh, he was just amazing. Like, and when they have him sing, they were like, oh, he was just so good.
Because he plays like a starving artist trying to get on Broadway.
Pinot Noir still hits different.
And he, in that. And it was funny. So every chance we get a little glimpse of him singing on The Incredible.
It's so good.
The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. It would always be a treat. He's singing. I'd yell, Titus is singing.
Pinot Noir. It's my favorite. So, and then he even says in the movie, I didn't even realize it was him at first until he was like, Aria, this ain't gonna work. And it was like a fork, and I was like, oh, bitch, that's Sebastian. Bro, that's Sebastian. I didn't even realize it. I'm so dumb. But, like, he looked a lot different. And Sebastian had, like, makeup. He had, like, red cheekbones, and they really went all out.
He was younger, because that was a while back.
Oh, yeah. But, like, also, he looks great. Not even that. But we saw Rogelio Douglas Jr., and he was also fantastic.
He was. So I didn't feel like that we missed too much.
We didn't miss too much. I don't think we missed anything, honestly. I'm glad I got to see the cast I did, because there's footage of the cast that we didn't see, but there's no footage of the cast we didn't. That we actually did see, like, live. So that was more of a once-in-a-lifetime experience for me, anyway. And I also, I've met a few other people, like, through the industry, like, Kay Trinidad, who is now in Hadestown, as one of the Fates, was a Mercister.
Yes.
In the cast I saw. And, like,
Arbinder?
Arbinder Robinson, he was a swing in the original cast.
He's a swing for Eric in an ensemble.
And he was fantastic. I've met him.
What's he in? What did he go on to do?
He was also the swing in Les Mis for Maris in the most recent revival with Ramin as Valjean, Casey Levy as Fantine. Mm-hmm. And Andy Menides as Marius. And, of course, Nikki M. James from, oh my gosh, I forget what else she's been in. But I remember her most from Eponine, because Eponine's my girl. Yes, but she played Eponine, and it was a great revival. So, yes. And then Flounder was rotated from many actors.
Because they were young. I mean,
tiny.
They were like 12, 13, 14. They were all...
I don't think they went that old.
You don't think it was old 14? They were all very young.
I think they had to have been 10 to 12.
You think? Okay, that's very possible.
Some of them... I've seen, like, interviews with some of them, and some of them are very small.
They were all
pretty... I mean, I know that doesn't mean anything, but, like, they were very small. But when I saw the revival tour, Flounder was played by an adult.
Yes, it's probably easier to tour with, you know.
Yes. And
with an adult, without having to have your tutors and stuff along.
Yeah. And I thought that was really cool that he was an adult, because the dynamic changed. And, like, he was played by an adult, but he was obviously meant to be, like, a teenager, like Ariel's age, like 16, 15, 16. But it was kind of engineered that he kind of had a little crush on Ariel.
I didn't like that.
It didn't make sense if he was like 5, but it made sense if he was older, and it actually made more sense because he was that old, and he's like so hopelessly devoted to Ariel in the movie, like with him being like, LOL, here's this big ass statue in your grotto now. You know, like how did he move it there? Like, literally.
He has connections, he has friends.
I know, but before he was just like trying to be cool and hang with Ariel because she was older and she was cool. But this made it seem more like he was like, please marry me. You know, it was one of
it
those.
It was, yes. The
it made more sense if he was older, but when I played Flounder and I did that track, it just was weird. I just didn't vibe. I was like, would I? You know, and now I'm just like, I mean, now it would make sense, but when I was 12 and doing it, it just felt wrong. Especially when the girl playing it, Savannah, was like 17, and I was like, she was like towering over me, and I had like buck teeth, and I was like, you know, I didn't have buck teeth, but girl, the space between my front two teeth were wider than my vocal range.
Anyway. I personally don't care for the crush thing. I like it that they're friends and they're there for each other.
Yeah,
bestie. I didn't as much care for it, but I mean,
we love a bestie.
It did bring it. It did change it up a little bit. Agreed.
Very
agreed.
Fresh. It was an interpretation. I don't hate it. I don't hate it when it's done well. Anyways, Chef Louis Robert Crichton, who's who I saw. He was the replacement. He was fantastic. I also got to see him in Frozen on Broadway when I got to go see it all three times.
He's original cast on Frozen.
Yes, and he was fantastic. He was the Duke of Wesselton. He was also Timon in The Lion King replacement, and he was absolutely fantastic, and I love him.
I think what I like so much about him, not only was he just so nice to you when he came out, we were like, were you in the show? Of course, we had never stage-doored anything, because, you know, when we took you to see The Little Mermaid. So we were like, what? You can stand out here and get autographs? Okay, let's do that. And when he came out, we're like, were you in the show? And who were you? And he says, I was Chef Louis. His costume was so extravagant.
Between like the mustache and the wig and the makeup with the...
And the big hat and all the business. You would not have been able to pick him out as that. So what was funny is that we took a picture of you with him. And it was almost 10 years and a month difference when you saw him in Frozen. And we talked to him, and we got your picture with him again.
Oh my gosh, and he wrote on my poster, I will read it out. He said, see you in 10 years, dream big, Elijah. So then I was like, yes, period, yes. I will see you in the next 10 years. And I'll be like, remember when you did this? And he'll be like, nah, and I'll be like, didn't think so, but I made it. You know, like that's like...
And he's quite a dancer, and he did...
he's very versatile.
Off-Broadway doing the James Cagney.
Oh, very.
And I don't know who... that's on YouTube. If you find clips or anything of that... That is fantastic, and it's a shame that it seems like they were going to try to bring it back again, but then everything shut down with the COVID. But he, I think they were trying to revive that, and he was fantastic. So I really liked him. I also, one of the characters I enjoyed in the show was Scuttle, because they brought Scuttle more to life with the Positivity song, and
they made him so fun.
Yes, he was definitely comic relief, the comic timing. The seagulls came, did a whole big tap number.
Oh my gosh, and of course this, and that's really creative, that if you're gonna have a tap number, of course it's the seagulls, because they're so quirky. Like, it's not even just like in the show, but like seagulls as like a species of bird are so quirky, and they're like always like and they're just like always kind of there and like doing everything. So, of course, the seagulls would be the tappers, and it's such a, and of course, and it, the style of music was, like, jazzy, and like, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and it was like a showstopper. It was like
they're teaching Ariel to walk.
And it was so cleverly put in there, because they're teaching Ariel to walk, and to be positive, and I'm like, of course that's the tap number, and then Ariel taps, and it's like a whole thing, and she looks great, and she kills it.
And that's Scuttle's vibe. He's always so encouraging and supportive, and that's what I liked. I liked his part in the play. I enjoyed him.
The play? It's a musical.
In the musical.
Oh. Okay, now I really want to, like, dive into the diversity in the cast, and specifically the Mer sisters. This was, like, before Hamilton diversity. This was one of those things, because all of the mermaids were different. Like, all of Ariel's sisters... We're like a different race. Like, we had some Asian American, we had some Asian, we had some black sisters, we had some African American sisters. Like, literally, everybody was looking different, and everybody was serving a different look. And not just that, we had different shapes and sizes. Like, we had some, like, super duper skinnies, like, and then we had some, like, curvy queens, yes. And, like, literally some, like, and we had, like, all the legends up there, like, serving us, like, different body types and letting us all know that, like, any of us can play mermaids. And I was so excited to see that. And I think that that is so iconic. And then Norm Lewis, of course, is African-American, and he's killing it.
As the daddy.
As Ariel's dad. And Sierra Boggess is a white girl. So they really just said, doesn't matter. They really just, and I feel like it wasn't more colorblind casting. I feel like it was more acknowledging all of the colors. Like, it sees, we see both.
Yes.
And all of it.
And they always talk about Hamilton and how, you know, progressive, and all this is true. But I keep thinking, what about Little Mermaid? Little Mermaid did that years ago.
Yes.
So, you know, I like to think of Little Mermaid as the precursor to it. But
oh my gosh, it was so good. They killed it, and I loved that. I loved all, and also the sisters were, like, really iconic. And they, like, all, they, it was, like, just vibes and vocals, you know, with all of them. They were, like, a group, and I was, like, and I like that they kind of established, like, a girl group aesthetic to those sisters. Like, this, like, it's like a early 2000s bop, the their song, yes. She's in Love. Yes, it's like an early 2000s bop.
Yeah, because they have their own song. They exactly. get to sing.
Exactly. I mean, they get to sing multiple times.
Yes.
And then they sing, like, vocals, like, for harmonies. And it, they just really just said, exquisite. I love the sisters. Like, the vibes were so immaculate with all of them. And I loved them. I loved all of the sisters. Like, I want to see more productions of Little Mermaid that continue to cast the sisters diversely.
Yes.
And not just the sisters, like, all of them. Like, when I saw the national tour, Ariel was played by Diana Huey, and I did talk about this in the Falsettos podcast. Diana Huey played Ariel, and Diana Huey is Asian American, and she ate it up. Like, I saw no crumbs. I went to go see her 3 times. She brought new choices. She brought new freshness to the role. She was perfect. No one sang like her. And she was beautiful, and she was just so cute. Like, she was just so lovable as Ariel, and that's what she should be. Very likable and the heroine of our story. So I loved her. I thought she was great, and I thought it was so fresh to see her as Ariel, and she did an excellent, excellent work. I love her. So, when I was 5, I didn't question any of this, like, representation or anything.
No,
like,
it was not a non-issue.
And I think it's really interesting that, like, there were some people, like, on this tour that were, like, with Ariel being Asian American, that, like, bashed it and were, like, my daughter was confused because Ariel was this, that, and the other. And I'm like, excuse me, has your daughter had the talk about, like, the mermaids? Like, what's next? We didn't cast actual mermaids in the role?
Because you mentioned nothing. You said nothing after no. you saw it any of the time. And even when you saw it older with Diana Huey.
I didn't even question Diana Huey being Asian American. No. I just remember being like, wow, she is really good. And wow, she is so different, and wow, she is so fresh. It wasn't even like, wow, she's Asian American and she's Ariel. It was, she's doing Ariel and she did a great job. And like, her being Asian American didn't influence me any way or other.
No,
like,
exactly.
She was so amazing.
So I think that they were, unless someone out there knows something different, I just really think Little Mermaid's, you know, it was before with the diversity, because even mm-hmm. shows like Les Mis weren't even showing the diversity then.
Also, the
sneaking in now, and Phantom of the Opera.
Yeah, like those, having Nikki James as Ebony.
Those have been, I think, I don't know if that was after Hamilton or around the same time, but
that revival came out around the same time.
Okay, but Little Mermaid was definitely early on.
Oh yeah.
So
period.
So kudos to them for that. But I think we're going to play one of my favorite...
This was also one of my
favorite songs from the show, which is sung by Flounder and the Mer Sisters, and I love it so much.
It's so cute. And also, I kind of like the music. We never really thought about it, because like it was kind of two different worlds, but the influence was there. They give him some early Bieber vibes, Flounder.
Oh, yeah.
And the sisters are very, like, early 2000s girl group. Like, we've got some, like, Cheetah Girl vibes, like how it's like sassy and like very period, we're gonna live, we're gonna vibe, and the vibes were just like
chef's kiss. That's right, this is before Bieber, but it's very Bieber
like. No, but he has like some Bieber aesthetics with like early Bieber, like the baby like that.
Yeah,
like,
but this came out before he was probably born. No, he was born. He was born, but he would have been little. If you were
no, but like early Bieber, when he was baby, he was baby Bieber.
When you were 3 or 5, he was just a little bit older. He was not discovered yet.
Oh, really?
Really?
Oh. LOL. But, like, the influence was there, and, like, this also could have just been, like, a little bit of a coincidence, but it feels the same, and he's like an early 2000s pop, and it's like really, oh, it's so cute.
Flounder influenced Bieber.
Oh, period, as he should. So this is so aesthetic. I love this song. So this is the perfect time for another break. I want you guys to hear this. This is She's in Love, sung by Flounder and the Mer Sisters in the original Broadway cast of The Little Mermaid. Stay tuned. We'll catch you on the flip-flop.
I'm talking about Ariel, that's who.
What about her?
She sure is acting fishy lately.
I'll say, swimming in circles, chasing her tail.
That girl is up to her gills in something. She's dizzy and she's dreamy.
Her head's up in the foam.
Her eyes have gone all gleamy. It's like there's no one home. She floats away the days, moping on the coastal shelf.
You ask her where she's going, she giggles like a fool. She barely sticks a tongue down at the tidal pool.
It's more than just a face, face it, she's just not herself. Is she ill or insane? Is it water on the brain? What has got her bothered so?
It's the bang,
it's the flu.
Gosh, I wish we had a clue.
Doesn't even speak.
She treats me like sashimi left over from last week. You see her late at night, tossing in her ocean bed. She's moody, yes, she's snapper, oblivious, she's rocks. You smart up and tab her, she lays there like a lox. As sure as dogfish bite, something's made her lose her head.
She has lost her head.
And she sighs and she squills, and she's humming little tunes.
Even has a sort of glow.
What on earth could it be?
Any hammerhead can see.
K-I-S-S-I-N-G.
Besties, we are back. I'm so excited. We'll keep this brief because I'm very passionate about this subject and I went incredibly over time. So, I want to talk about the costuming for The Little Mermaid on Broadway because it was fantastic. And I mean, the costumes have since changed, like for productions like the tour and like internationally. So the tails are a lot different, but originally the tails were really and like really, really cool. What they were, they had like a front piece that kind of looks like a mermaid tail, yes. But then they actually had an extension of the mermaid tail in the back.
A big swooping booty poking like, out of their...
Yeah, and you can see it's like made with wire. So when they move, it's like very buoyant swishy. And it's really aesthetic in my opinion, because there's a lot of scenes where they're where like Ariel is up on the surface and she's like in like behind a wave.
Yes.
And it's really cool to like see her like when she moves, like see her fins like flish, and it's, I don't know, I just thought it was like very good touch when the angle, and like when she's in the grotto, because like I'll get to the set, but like the grotto is like a hoop. It's like a big willy hoop that comes on, and like all the things are in this like circle hoop thing, and when she sits in there, she just kind of puts her head through it and like sets her hands like on the bottom of it and like leans her head. But like when she's doing that, the tail's like over her.
It pops up.
It like pops up, and it's so cute because it's like her little. And then when she moves just even a little bit, the tail moves with her. Mm-hmm. Oh, and it's so cute, and I love when she moves. It's really aesthetic. So look up pictures like on Safari, like Little Mermaid costuming, and you'll see it. It's really cool, I promise. But not a lot of people did like this, and I kind of attribute this to, like, a lot of people do think that, like, The Little Mermaid is, like, kind of like a, I'm putting air quotes up, but, like, cheap production, because they're like, girl, what even is this? It feels, like, weird.
Yes, because it worked, like you said, when they held up the waves, and it looked like they were swimming on top, but when the wave wasn't there, which was the majority of the time. And with the Mer sisters and everything, you're like, what is going on? And thank goodness they didn't give that tail to Norm, because...
Oh, yeah, Norm Lewis didn't have that tail, but, like, he did have, like, a back tail, but it, like, didn't swish like that. It was, like, it was, like, the little fin was, like, an extremity of, like, just the... It was more masculine.
More like a skirt-type tail coming down.
It was more of, like, a Greek, like, toga thing feel. It was, like, it was not that... That's, like, totally wrong, but it's, like, how it felt, like, visually. It was, like, that kind of represents this kind of look.
But the reason they had these long skirt-type coverings for their legs was also to cover their shoes.
Yes.
Which were specific for the show.
Okay, so here's the tea. They had Heelys. The mermaids and the eels and Flounder, actually, had Heelys. And, like, you know, like, if Heelys are basically roller skates, but, like... There's only one wheel and it's at the heel and you just kind of like pop up your feet and they like go zzz. But okay, so that sounds odd, like Little Mermaid and Heelys, but what this did is it created this really smooth like motion when they would swim, that it was like very like slick, and it was very like, and they just kind of moved their arms like they were swimming, and it was so cool. Magical, because like the way it did, and like, and the tail didn't like clunk when it moved, because the tail was like so easily manipulated that when they would move, and they would just kind of move their hips a little bit for balance, the tail would just kind of
go side to side. Not like up and down
very mermaidy, and yes. It gave that feeling of like we're underwater and we're swimming right now.
Yes.
And it was so cool, like, I mean, you have to see the magic and use your imagination, but it was so magical for me when I was little. I loved it, and it still is, like, I love it. I think it's amazing.
And the productions that we've seen of Little Mermaid locally here in the community theater and stuff, one of the ones you were in, they actually used Heelys when you were Flounder, and you got to do it. But most
we were all
don't
falling.
Take on the Heelys. Most of the, you know, I don't think they tackle that, because it's a challenge to learn to use them.
Yeah, and when we got the show recorded, I fell actually on a cord from the curtains. And you could kind of see me, like, go off, and then you just saw my legs, like, go up, and then, like, you heard, like, this...
We hear it, and everybody on stage just looked over at you, but...
And, like, King Triton was like, ah! And then, like, I went, and then he, like, looked at me, and he was like, And then, like, it was so funny, Ursula was in the wings, she was like, oh my god, girl, if you tripped on my tentacles, oh my god. Like, I remember it was, like, one of those, like, if you had just fallen on my costume, you would have ripped this out of me. Like, it was one of those moments, it was like a, so.
But you survived it.
I did. And also, this is, like, coming back to the plot a little bit, I forgot this plot, like, I was trying to say earlier, but I got distracted. Everything kind of happens for a reason in the show, like, little details. Like, I remember when Ariel's, like, you're so unfair! And, like, he's like, you're 16 years old, and then she swims away. And then he's just like, just before, like, the humans, they give him an inch, they swim all over you. When that happens, he, like, after she leaves, he goes, like, ugh! And, like, the trident goes, like, a little boom, boom, boom in the water. And then Sebastian's like, oh, don't do that. You're going to whip up a storm with that one. But what it does is that, what that does is that's the storm that, like, causes the craze upstairs, like, on the on surface, and that's why Ariel saves Eric, because that's the storm her dad created.
And Eric got
Yes, and also in the top of the show, when he's making a point to Grimsby, like, I'd rather be on the ship. I don't want to go back to the castle. He's like, I don't need this. The stars will show me the way. And he throws a candle over. And then he's like, I don't need this. I'll do something. And then he picks up the fork and the Dinglehopper. And he's like, this? Well, I'll eat with my bare hands. And he throws it over. But that's how Ariel gets the Dinglehopper in the context of the show. Because, you know, the shipwreck isn't there. So I thought that was really cool that, like, even from the beginning. And why they keep sailing, because they're supposed to go back. In the opening number, The Fathoms Below, where they're like, oh, lost the mermaid's out there in the bottomless blue, and it's eight, the starboard heave-ho. When they're doing that, you can hear Ariel doing the, oh, and it's kind of like... And
she's up visiting Scuttle.
Yes, because she's up gonna visit Scuttle, and he's like, okay, we're gonna follow the voice to the ends of the earth if we have to. So the reason they keep sailing into the open water is because they hear Ariel. And I'm like, oh my gosh, period! I thought it was so cute, and I was like, ah! So it's, I don't know, I think it's such a, like, it's such a, like, very genius plot.
More details to the story.
More details, like, very intricate. Mm-hmm. And I think that they really do a good job of it. And my favorite, I saw a friend of mine did a production of it, the junior version, with the foreign princesses, like, in the contest.
Oh,
but
yes.
They were the other Disney princesses. Like, one of them was Snow White, and one of them was Belle, and one was Cinderella, and one was Aurora, and one was Jasmine. And, like, I was like, oh my gosh, that's how it should be done, because that's, like, a cool cameo, I guess, of, like...
Yes, a nod to the other princesses.
I love that.
From faraway lands.
Yes, and I just think that would be epic. But another costume detail that I found really interesting... Oh, and the mermaids, of course, looked completely different. And they had, like, different corals on their heads. So, like, one of them had, like, a whole anemone off the side of her head. Chelsea's did have a little anemone. And, like, so one of them had, like, little fins off the side of hers. And it was so cute. And they all had different hair, like, different colors, like pink and green and...
Yes. Non-traditional colors.
Non-traditional. And then, like, Ariel had... And I actually think it makes more sense that Ariel has red hair because, like, that, especially that color, like, the very, like, bright blood red, because all the other sisters have specific colors and Ariel's is, like, bright red. So, like, someone's might be pink, someone's might be purple, but Ariel's is red and it makes sense in, like, that context, I guess. Yes. I don't know, but if I ever did the production, I would mix up the colors and I would give, like, because Ariel has a green tail and red hair, I would give, like, the one with, like, the green tail, or the red tail, the green hair. And I would, like, do it like that, so they were all mixed up, so it made a little bit more sense aesthetically. But I don't know, I just think it's beautiful, the way that's done.
Because they were all singular colored, except for Ariel.
In the movie, they all had, like, one color. Like, I remember, like, there was a blue one, a pink one, a purple one, a green one. Well, like, more of, like, a yellow gold one.
Chartreuse.
Chartreuse, really. And then, like, an orange one, a red one. Yeah. I probably missed one. But, like... I'm not forgetting, but yes, so all of them had, like, a different color, but Ariel was green, but she had, like, a top that was purple, and then
her
red hair didn't match the rest of them aesthetically, like, in the cartoon, so I'm big on the aesthetics and, like, all of them looking the same, so, or, like, show having, like, similar features, and yes. I mean, like, when I say features, I don't mean, like, the skin color or, like, the sizing, because, like, come on, like, that's what makes it exciting. But, like, the costumes, I thought that could be, like, really cool to just kind of make it, like, yes, that's Ariel, but it makes more sense that she looks like that because the sisters look like that.
Yes.
I don't know. Anyway, I digress. But another one of my favorites is Ursula's coloring. She is made to be, because in the movie, she's black and purple, primarily, and she's kind of, like, yes. A bad bitch in that way, but she's a really bad bitch in the musical, because she has, like, fluorescent, like, neon green with black.
Dots, I think.
Isn't like, it's dots. Yeah. It's dots, like a octopus or squid. Yes. It makes more sense to her have a pattern like that. And then she has purples in her gloves, which are, like, little spiny arms, and they look amazing, with teals in her makeup. So she has very, like, octopus, squid, bottom, like, briny colors.
And that wig she has, that massive wig, is very Medusa-like. God.
It is. It is very Medusa. And it's very, like, once again, she has, like, that siren quality to her. And she's hot. She's really hot. And I think Ursula should be sexy.
Maybe because, she's bioluminescent with that.
You know, I want to do a production of Little Mermaid where it's, like, that scene in Moana with the Tamatoa. But it's Ursula's lair. And then, like, when she's doing the magic, it all goes dark. And then you see, like, the spots under her eyes and, like, the colors in her wig. Like, they're, like, the black light colors.
Yes.
And all of it's done in black light. That could be savage. Like, very witch doctor aesthetic instead of, like, black magic. I would want witch... Oh, Anyways, my Amazon Echo went off. But yeah, so I don't know. I would kill for that production. But the set of Little Mermaid is so beautiful. It's like sea glass aesthetic. Do you remember that? Like the sea glass, like everything was very transparent and plastic. Do you remember,
Mama? We're talking about the
set.
I'm talking about the set on the Broadway.
On the Broadway,
because
yeah.
We've seen so many
yeah, on the
local
Broadway
versions
set,
of it. And they're all been so different.
Yeah, like where things were like very clear and
yes.
crisp and crystal.
Very
and,
underwater.
Yes, but it gave like that like sea glass. You
yes,
know, like that
yes.
like stuff you would find at like a beach store, like the teal sea glass.
Yes,
it
yes,
was,
yes.
It was genius. But yeah, I thought that they really killed with the overall design of their original production. Now, of course, there have been like other productions with like different aesthetics, so like it would fit different for each one, but it was just amazing the first time seeing it. I was like, wow, the colors, the sounds, because like even the orchestrations like matched what I was seeing. Like if I could put a sound to what I was seeing, it would be that.
But you don't think, like when you saw it the first time, you were not thinking, oh, Broadway, I've got to do this. You were thinking, mermaid, she's alive.
Mermaids, I want to be one. That's how it feels.
Okay.
I know I'll probably never be a mermaid. And I say probably because I have wishful thinking, but I would love for that. And I definitely think that the shows like The Little Mermaid bring it to life. And I think that we need like new things and fresh ideas of old ideas. And
yes.
I could not be more excited. I know like some people don't like the live action Disney films, but I love that we're getting a diverse cast, Little Mermaid. Live action
yes.
with Halle Bailey as Ariel.
Yes.
And David Diggs as Sebastian.
I love him.
And
yes.
Melissa McCarthy, one of the most hilarious people on this earth, is Ursula. I can't wait to see what they do with her because she is such a savage. She is going to probably kill this, and I'm so excited to see it. And Halle Bailey, she has like the perfect voice for a mermaid, and it's not like she's a traditional Ariel, but like she just has like that like...
Like, I feel like this movie's on hold because of the whole COVID thing, right? It should have
yeah.
already been out by now.
No, it wouldn't have been out by now for sure.
No, they would have been filming it for sure.
No, they probably would have been filming it for sure last
yeah.
year. But the controversy with Ariel, it's been ridiculous. So, I mean, if you see any of those posts, like, literally defend it because this is such a great story and it deserves to be told by anyone.
Exactly.
I think that, I don't even think that, like, I feel like Ursula could be played by anyone. I feel like Ariel could be played by anyone. I feel like Triton could be played by anyone. I feel like... And I've even seen a junior production where they... Like I think it was on a middle school. But Ursula was played by a young boy. And Triton was a girl. And they, like, gender-flipped it. And, like... But, like, Ursula was more like a drag queen. And it was iconic because he was, like, definitely, like, 12 to 13. And I was like, oh, my God, period! But then, like, the Triton had, like, long, like... gray hair and like the crown. She was very regal
mm-hmm.
and she was really cute, and I was like, do you know what, why couldn't this be done on like a bigger scale? Like, take this to Broadway. Thank you.
Yes,
like literally we have ideas, and it's so interchangeable because we live in a time of new ideas, and it's kind of a renaissance for theater with everything that's been going on with like our Black Lives Matter movement that was necessary, and just everything, like this diverse casting, and I don't know.
Make it the norm, not the rarity.
Exactly, exactly, and I'm really excited about to see what the future holds, and it's because of things like The Little Mermaid and how imaginative people on the creative team have been with it that the world is changing and is better.
Yes,
you know?
I agree.
It's because of people like that.
Yes.
And I'm really excited to see what the future holds. So with that, I would like to say goodbye. Thank you so much. It's been a fantastic time. Mermazing.
And they got off easy because you could talk for many, many, many hours
yes.
about Little
this
Mermaid.
This whole podcast could be Little Mermaid themed. You do understand.
Yes, it could be.
So I would like to show you guys one more song. This is one of my favorites. It's like the 11 o'clock number of the show.
Yes, also not in the movie.
It's called If Only. It is a quartet between Ariel, King Triton, Sebastian, and Prince Eric. So this is If
Beautiful.
Only. Oh my God, it's one of the most stunning songs ever.
Makes me want to cry again.
Literally, I'm going to go listen to it. I'm so excited. So we'll catch you later. Thank you so much for coming. So this is If Only, sung by Sierra Boggess, the original Ariel. Norm Lewis, the original King Triton, Sean Palmer, the original Prince Eric, and Titus Burgess, the original Sebastian. I hope you love this song as much as I do. Thank you so much. Mwah.
Impossibly familiar. Why do I feel dizzy in a way I've only felt but once before? How come when she looks at me it seems like time stops moving? Almost like the way it did that day upon the shore. But that
never find a way to tell you so. Oh, what I would give if only you could know.
Bless you, child. Tomorrow the prince will have his pick of any princess in the land. How can a little mermaid compete with that? If only I knew how, I'd make him see the light. If only it were up to me, this all would turn out right. And if I only could, I'd tell you what I'd do. I'd simply wave me claw and make your dreams come true. And wouldn't that surprise you if you're only knew?
How could she just suddenly completely disappear into thin water? It's been 2 whole days and I don't know where she has gone.
Try to understand
what has to happen now.
I'd give my life up to make it happen.
I should have started listening to you.
How